back to Shattering Myths. It's my pleasure to welcome IQ Arasuli. IQ is the author of a 3-volume set called Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. He is the world's foremost expert on the religion of Islam. Good morning, IQ. Good afternoon, or almost evening, where you are in Europe.
Good morning to you, sir.
Well, thank you. IQ, a Taliban Sunni Muslim jihadist decided that it would be his religious duty to go blow himself up amongst a bunch of Shiite worshippers in a mosque in Pakistan. What does that say about Islam?
Very peaceful. I mean, peaceful in the sense of P-I-S-S-F-U-E-L.
Yeah, there you go. It is. It is peaceful. All of those people are mutilated and in pieces, their blood and body parts spattered everywhere. This rift between Shia and Sunni Islam, when did it begin?
The very moment Muhammad died, literally a few seconds after Muhammad died.
Yeah, and what was the basis of it?
The Sunnis believe that any capable Muslim, any male Muslim who is knowledgeable in the Quran and good character, can be the Khalifa, that means the leader of the whole of the Muslim community.
Yeah, well, that is their stated position. Yes. It's really not 100% truthful. What the Sunnis say is that you have to be an Arab descendant from the Quraysh tribe. In other words, you have to be one of those individuals who came, descended from someone who was with Muhammad at the beginning in Mecca prior to him leaving for Medina.
True.
It's a very small section. Yeah. It's the very people who were responsible for the Kaaba, the pagan shrine to rock gods, and all of the pagan religious festivals, all of which existed in pagan Arabia, the very custodians of all of those pagan traditions and the pagan shrine wanted to have absolute control over Islam. And in particular, the man who was willing to prostitute his own 6-year-old daughter felt that Abu Bakr, that he deserved to be caliph. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. The ones who oppose them, they call them the Shia, they are the ones who say no. The only people or the only Khalifa or leader of Islam should be from the bloodline, of course, a male, not a female, from the bloodline of Muhammad, which is from Ali bin Abi Talib and his wife, Fatima, who was the daughter of Muhammad.
And the name Sunni, is it related to any other concept that's important in Islam?
Yes, the Sunnah of Muhammad, that means the traditions of how Muhammad lived, how he behaved, how he cut his hair, how he washed his genitals, and I'm not being rude, that's exactly what they're talking about.
Yeah, how many stones?
Sorry?
How many stones and what hand? I mean, he's quite into the wudu statements in the hadith are comical, as how many stones to use and what hand to use and what type of stones to use to wipe one's genitals, yes. In fact, the signs of a prophet are how the prophet wipes their genitals is a proof that they're a prophet, according
By the way, did you know? Of course you know, but I'll just remind you.
Yes, sure.
In Islam, the male Muslim cannot pee standing up. They have to pee squatting like a woman.
Yes, because of
did
Muhammad.
You know that?
The example, yeah. The example of Muhammad.
And the hadith is very clear about it. Muhammad insisted that all male Muslims should squat when they are peeing.
Right. And you can spit to your right, but can't spit to your left. And, you can use an odd number of stones, but not an even number of stones, because the odd number of stones are demonic. I mean, the whole thing is just, every aspect of Islam is insane, but these in particular. So the Sunnis are named after Sunnah, which is the example of Muhammad. And where would one find Muhammad's words and deeds, the example? Where does one find the Sunnah?
The best part is Hadith.
Right. And so
there is no Quran.
Yeah, for the Muslims that say, you know, that the only thing we have is the Quran and the Hadith are all questionable, the fact is you can't be a Sunni, you can't be a Muslim without the Hadith.
Impossible.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, the Quran itself is Hadith because it's an oral report from Muhammad and his companions. There really is no distinction between the Quran and Hadith. They can't convey the same message, came from the same people, delivered the same way. All right, so you've got the Sunnis, which claim to be following Muhammad's example, and that's bad because Muhammad was a rapist, a pedophile. He was a sexual pervert. He was a mass murderer. He was a ruthless terrorist. So that's not a good thing. You don't want to label yourself, I'm a Sunni following Muhammad's example when he was the most perverted and despicable man who ever lived. Now, the Shia then picked the Muhammad's lone blood descendant to be the head of Islam, fighting for control of what was a crime syndicate. I mean, they're fighting for who's going to be the Don, you know, and the Godfather.
Absolutely, yes. That's exactly what it was.
Right.
An organized crime syndicate, and each one of them was trying to be the top man.
Right.
The capo di tutti capi, as the Italians say.
Right, and the reason you want to be the top guy of the crime syndicate is this crime syndicate was set up that the top guy got 20% of whatever was stolen.
Correct. 20%. 10% was supposed to go to Allah. But since Allah doesn't claim anything, all 20% goes to the Don.
That's right, the Don. So that's what they were fighting over, is who's going to be the head of Muhammad's crime syndicate. And how long did the Shia claim that it should be a blood descendant of Muhammad? It should be just like, you know, kings and queens of yesteryear. How long did the Shia claim to a blood relative last?
Very little, because Ali bin Abi Talib was murdered after he became Khalifa.
Yes.
His grandchildren were murdered by the Sunnis. So only one person survived, a young man, and he became the Imam. And from him, 12 Imams are supposed to have been developed. The last Imam, the Mahdi, the one who is supposed to be still alive somehow after 1,000 years somewhere in a well.
Yes, the 12th Imam. Yes, I know. I know.
How many people listening know?
Yeah, I know. It's so laughable. And by the way, the whole mythology of this of the 12th Imam, this guy's alive in a well for 12 centuries, that this whole thing is post-Muhammad. So there's nothing in Shia Islam that is based upon what Muhammad actually said and did. It was all created by religious clerics thereafter so they could stake their claim to the crime syndicate.
True. That is exactly why Sunnis, 85% of Islam, consider the Shia infidels, subject to death and destruction.
Right.
And this is exactly why this suicide guy, who is a Sunni, did what he did.
Yeah.
He was blowing up infidels, whether they were Jews, Christians, Buddhists, Hindus.
Or Shias.
Shia, it made a difference.
And it's all because the Shia invented their religion to justify their positions of power.
Correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely correct.
Yeah, what's interesting, though, is that every written account of Islam, the first copies of the Quran, which are hugely different than the current version of the Quran, but the initial copies of the Quran, even Ishaq's biography of Muhammad, the Sirah, the history of Islam's formation by Tabari, and the two topical collections of Hadith by Bukhari and Muslim. All five sources first found paper under the brief reign of Shia Muslims, not too far from today's Baghdad.
Correct. Yes.
Yes. So what's really funny, because I in debates with Muslims, I would always just have so much fun with them. First of all, I would say you can't distinguish between the Quran and Hadith because it's exactly the same. Same people brought to us the same way, using the same conveyance method, covering exactly the same topic, Muhammad's words and deeds. So, you know, they are the same and they have a conniption fit. But the next thing I would say is that you claim to be a Salaf as a Sunni Muslim. and you claim to be Sunni because you're following the Sunnah, the example of Muhammad, which is only found in the Hadith. And yet all of the sources, including the Quran, were first written under the control of the Shias.
They were composed by the fourth century. In fact, the final version was 332 AD, which is almost, 600 years.
Right.
You know, it took a long, long time for the Quran that we have today
To evolve.
To be evolved, yes, absolutely. Yeah. A long, long time.
Yeah.
It is and perverted. It is added to. A lot of items were taken out. Words were added to it, and it's written in the Hadith that words were added to it.
Of course. Even during Muhammad's life, it was changed and evolved. Right. And in fact, Muhammad said that the memory of the Quran verses is as fleeting as a runaway camel, describing. Yeah. And he has contests with various reciters of the surahs that he allegedly got from Gabriel via Allah, and he tells his followers which variations he likes the best. And then he even says that, you know, there was a variation by some one of his followers. He said, I really like that, but, you know, he's gone and no one can remember it. So, yeah, this idea that the Quran was perfect and handed down perfectly and has been retained perfectly is a complete and utter joke. But beyond that, what we have of the Quran is so stupid, so perverted, so twisted, so immoral, so violent that it doesn't matter that it was changed. It's in its present form, it's repulsive.
By the way, as you know, even during his lifetime, because when he was reciting one type of verse, let's say verse chapter 1, verse 17, and then he recited the same verse to somebody else that came out different.
Yes.
A third person came out. He told them later on that the Quran was revealed to him in seven different ways.
Yes.
That also is in the Hadith.
Yes.
The Quran was revealed to Muhammad in seven different ways.
Yeah.
This way he covered his ass. Yeah. Every time he forgot anything, he allowed it to stay.
Yeah, exactly. Well, when we return, I want to talk a little more about this rift between Sunni and Shia. Not its ancient history, but now its modern manifestation, because it's obvious to me that the civil war now, the religious civil war between Sunnis and Shias, is a direct result of America's invasion of Iraq. We'll talk about that in a moment. To sharing this very conversation with IQ Al Rasuli about the unspoken war. I would say that it is in fact, there's no question about it. It's the largest war being fought today. And no matter what country it's being waged in, it is a religious civil war between Sunnis and Shias. As a matter of fact, IQ, the war that's being fought waged by the Islamic State in Syria and Iraq, who are they fighting against?
Shia.
And so you got the Sunnis, and the Islamic State is comprised initially out of the Awakening Program, which was the Sunni tribal leaders that America, through Petraeus, bribed with weapons and money to allegedly go after al-Qaeda. They become the modern manifestation of al-Qaeda. These are all Sunni tribal leaders, and they have formed the Islamic State, and they are... Their enemy are the Shias that America gave Iraq to, and the Shias in control of Syria.
Correct. But really, the disaster started not with Bush. It started with that idiot, the peanut president, Carter.
Jimmy Carter, when he and Zygmunt Brzezinski decided...
When he allowed the destruction of the Shah and... The evolution of the Shia in Iran in 1979. That was the beginning of the end, honestly.
Yeah, it was. Because even though Iran collectively represents about 75 to 80% of Shia Muslims worldwide.
Correct. Yes.
And Shia Muslims worldwide represent about 15 to 20% of Muslims. For example, when America declared war, as the Abominator is asking... against the Sunni Mujahideen, the Islamic State. We're fighting against, we're declaring war against 80% of Islam on behalf of 15 to 20% of Islam. So it's true that Iran represents about 70+% of the Shia Muslims in the world. But under the Shah, just like under Saddam Hussein, as under a dictator who was secular, there was almost no infighting between Sunni and Shia, and there was very little religious character to either of those two countries.
I come from Iraq. This is my background.
Right.
Shias and Sunnis intermarried forever. No problem. I mean, literally no problem.
Under Saddam Hussein.
Under Saddam Hussein, under the king, under the Ba'ath Party, under all of them, there was no problem. The minute Khomeini became the leader, because of the stability of Carter, the minute he became leader, he declared war on all Islam, which are not Shia. I mean, he's only 15%, and yet he had the audacity to declare war. He started threatening Iraq. Why did Saddam Hussein attack him? Saddam Hussein had no intention of attacking Iran. It was the Khomeini who wanted to instigate the Shias of Iraq against Saddam Hussein. So he attacked them.
Right.
But it started with Carter.
Yeah, you're right. It did start with Carter. And then, because of the Iraq-Iran war and the fact that that was so brutal on both sides, that you had a stalemate where even though Iran had become zealous and enraged and fundamentalist in their approach, they were caged in, if you will, by Saddam Hussein, who had successfully countered their aggression. But then America deposes Saddam Hussein, who is the only effective constraint on Shia Islam, and gives Iraq worse. Not only we depose Saddam Hussein, we give Iraq to the mullahs in Iran, and all of a sudden Shia influence drives a crescent right through the heart of the Islamic Middle East, taking not only now control of Iraq, but of Syria and of Lebanon, and the Sunni Muslims had a conniption fit. They panicked.
You know, the tragedy started, and this is unquestionable.
Mm-hmm.
Iraq would have stayed a complete state had the organization that was created in Iraq, the military organization, it was created not by the military himself, by the civilians of America, by the civil administration under Bush. They released 400,000 soldiers and officers and made them without any pay.
Right.
That was the biggest mistake. That was the beginning of the end of Iraq, literally. 400,000 men couldn't earn anything. What did they have to do?
Right.
They had to go to service.
Yeah, and they became the...
America did not do that in Germany. America did not do that in Japan. Why did they do that in Iraq? I can't figure it out.
Ah, we'll speak about that when we return. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. IQ, what we're doing now is the thing that I think is the most important to do if you want to understand what's happening. And if you, without understanding, I don't think you can ever respond intelligently. Rather than just taking, well, we got the Islamic State and they're raping little girls and they're killing people in videos, therefore we've got to go to war against them. When you take something out of context, you almost always err. You almost always end up doing the wrong thing. And so what you've done is you've presented the basis of this war is a Sunni-Shia war that began 1,400 years ago. And then you've systematically explained how that war was reignited under Jimmy Carter, his stupidity with the Shah and the Ayatollah. And then the next step along the way is America's invasion of Iraq, where America gave Iraq to Iran. That's how we got into this mess.
True. But Paul Bremer, in 2003, in May 2003, ordered the release of 250,000. He actually disbanded the Iraqi army.
Yes.
It didn't happen when the United States conquered Japan. They kept the Imperial army intact. Under control.
Yeah.
The same thing, the Wehrmacht was not completely obliterated.
Right.
They kept the borders of Germany.
Yeah, let me explain why that happened.
In Iraq, it was the worst possible decision. Paul Bremer is guilty as hell.
Yeah, well, he is, but that wasn't actually Paul's worst decision. The reason he did it in Iraq, I'm going to give you the reason. You may not like the reason, but I'm going to give you the reason. If you wondered why he did it, I will tell you the reason why America didn't do it in Japan and didn't do it in Germany. In Japan and Germany, they wore uniforms. We fought an actual army, an actual navy, an actual air force. We knew that our military was engaged against the German military and against the Japanese military. There was no one needed to be sold on that idea. And so when the war was over, the military knew that the military is always used to control people. It's a control mechanism. And so rather than leave Japan and Germany in chaos, we allowed a continuance of their military heavily de-armed. Now, you turn to Iraq. We never fought a military. Shock and awe, the first invasion in Iraq wasn't against the military. The military didn't fight. They ran. And in the second invasion, there literally was no military. 100% of our military encounters in Iraq were against civilians. Every battle, everything. And so what we find is that in Iraq, to create the illusion that we fought a military and that our military prevailed in a military-style battle, in Iraq, we created the illusion by disbanding the military. Said, see, there really was a military. We really engaged it, and now we're disbanding it to show that we destroyed it. That's why I did it.
Whether it's whatever you say, however, if it's true or not, it was a bad decision.
Yeah, it was. The other thing that was a bad, and the reason it was a bad decision in the Islamic world, since democracy has no chance of succeeding in a religion named submission, where there is no choice. If you don't have a dictator over Muslims, then there is nothing but chaos and terror.
Correct.
And the dictator has to have an army.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's why America has rebuilt an army in Iraq, and we've spent hundreds of billions of dollars rebuilding an army in Iraq. It's just that the army we built in Iraq now has all American weapons, and they're all Shias.
Yes, but these Shias didn't even fight to save themselves.
No, they didn't. That is correct.
So hundreds of billions of dollars wasted. Wasted.
Yes. Yeah, but the reason they didn't fight to save themselves is that Muslims, jihadists like Muhammad, are all cowards. They use their weapons to fight civilians who are typically unarmed or very lightly armed. The whole mentality of the criminal enterprise that is Islam is to attack the weak, attack the defenseless. And so when the Shias were attacked even though they outgunned and outmanned the Sunnis in that particular fight, outgunned them and outmanned them probably 100-1. They had no concept as to how to fight in a war setting. All they knew was all they know is terror.
Yeah.
You know, armed assaults
Islam
against civilians.
Islam is terror. Only terror.
Yeah.
The tragedy is how much more destruction will Islam have to wreak on America and Europe before the public wakes up?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But if we look now at Syria and Iraq, and we look at even Yemen, which just recently capitulated, we look at the terror that was just perpetrated against Shia and Pakistan. If we look at what is happening around the world, because right now there is a world war between Sunni and Shia Islam. how in the world can America prevail by declaring war on the Islamic State and siding with the Shias against the Sunnis? What chance do we have of success under this declaration of war?
It's stupid. First of all, it's there is no doubt war. Sending drones and aircraft to pick up two or three soldier or leaders of Islam.
We're as cowardly as they are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
America will never prevail. Europe will never prevail. No. China will not prevail. Russia will not prevail against Islam the way they are fighting the war.
Right. Because, by the way, there is no winning. You know, about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, IQ, you and I began to talk about the fact that Assad, as a dictator, as bad as he is over Syria, is vastly better for Syria, for Syrians, and for the world than would be al-Nusra, which at the time was the primary Islamic terrorist organization, the Sunnis, that were trying to unseat him. Said that if al-Nusra and the Sunni Mujahideen prevail, it's worse for everyone in Syria, and it's worse for the world outside of Syria, because you'll replace a bad guy with a worse regime.
I mean, worse is not even the explanation. It's infinitely worse.
Correct.
Whatever Assad did during his lifetime, until this move, the so-called Arab Spring, which was supported by Obama and the West for no reason at all, there was no chance of success, of democratizing Islam. It is impossible. It is against Islam to be a democracy. It is against Islam to be a just and moral society. It can't be done.
So there is no prevailing. You cannot create a scenario in Syria or in Iraq that's better than what they currently have. And if you look at Iraq, the scenario, the conditions in Iraq now are infinitely worse than they were under Saddam Hussein.
The word is infinite. Literally infinite.
Infinitely worse than they were under Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein was a terrorist leader, correct? But every Muslim leader is a terrorist leader. Throughout the history of Islam.
So what is that? What scenario could possibly exist if the United States now declares war on the Islamic State and engages in yet another war? What's the end game? How can you create a scenario in Western Iraq and Syria that is normalized, that is civil?
Impossible.
Impossible.
America will never prevail. Europe will not prevail. You and I have the best method of prevailing against Islam.
Yes.
By literally showing it to every human being on the planet and quarantining the Muslim world.
Well, that's the two things that have to be done. You have to expose it and condemn it in the West so that people understand the nature of this disease, this criminal enterprise. And in the rest of the world, rather than declaring war against it, rather than providing arms to both sides, just quarantine it. Stop buying their oil and stop supplying them with weapons and leave them alone. Why should anyone care that Sunnis and Shias are killing each other?
Within 5 years, millions of them will be dead.
Right.
Because they have nothing. They are the least productive, least inventive, least creative human beings on the planet Earth. Why? Because the Quran forbids them from being creative, inventive, and productive. Is that simple?
It is. Oh, it really is that simple.
It's simple because it's an organized crime syndicate, so it's not productive. Right. The only way they succeed is when they steal from somebody else.
If America back 75, 100 years ago had said, you know, the best thing we could do with the mafia is to say, you know, the mafia is really a great organization. It's had great influence on the country. And what we should do is we should buy products from the mafia. We should protect the mafia. We should treat the mafia with great respect. And we should do business with the mafia. And, oh, by the way, I think we should also arm the mafia. How is that any different, that stupidity, any different than the way we're treating Islam today?
Well, that's been going on for 60 years, as you said.
Yeah.
Stupidity is not even the word. It's criminality also.
Yes.
Tens of thousands of American soldiers died on behalf of Muslims, not on behalf of America. What did Clinton do? They attacked Christians in Europe.
Right.
To save so-called Muslims in Europe.
Right.
It was the Muslims who started the massacres in the first place.
Right.
In fact, in World War II, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, probably the highest-ranking Muslim in the world, formed an alliance with Adolf Hitler. He's the one that actually said to Hitler, don't export the Jews back to Israel. Kill them. We don't want them. Kill them. And then he formed a SS unit that was the only SS unit that weren't ethnic Germans out of Muslims. And collectively, they annihilated, they put in concentration camps and brutally murdered 800,000 Christians. And America goes to war against the Christians on behalf of the Muslims. That's how stupid we are.
That's not only stupidity, this is criminal.
It is.
I mean, it's criminal. Whenever, look, today, as we speak, three Muslims were murdered by a white guy who was an atheist.
Right.
If you Google about the young man who was killed, you won't believe what you see now. On his Twitter, he supported the Muslim Brotherhood. He is against white America, which is Christian America. He's against Jews. So he was not an innocent person that they say.
No.
C-A-I-R pretends to be. Muslims always pretend to be victims. Who did that before them? 1,400 years ago, Muhammad did.
Right. Exactly. And it was this victimization, this false sense of victimization that was used to justify mass murder and rape and the enslavement of countless people. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're going to conclude our discussion for today with IQ Al-Rasuli as we have summarized the events that brought us to the place we find ourselves now in the world with Muslims killing one another. You know, I have not yet covered the killing of the three people in Chapel Hill in North Carolina, IQ, because it just seems so unbelievably stupid that we would be protecting Muslims and refer to this as a hate crime. And the fact is, yeah, the Muslims were hateful. You know, when they're in their Islamic garb, they're if you're stupid enough to be a Muslim, you don't deserve an education. It's not going to do you any good. And here, these Muslims were jihadists. They were fundamentalists. They were hateful and enraged. They were opposed to the very country that was providing them with the education. And while I don't think they should have been killed for that, they ought not be here in this country, and they most certainly ought not be provided with an education. And the guy that killed them only killed them because they had a disagreement. You know, Muslims are enraged. I mean, you can't have a civil conversation with a Muslim. They always go to rage. And so their uncontrollable rage did it.
They're irrational. I've always said you cannot find a fundamentalist Muslim out of 1,500 million who can debate with you rationally.
No, they can't. No. And they all turn to threats and to rage.
Because they cannot defend their indefensible position. How can you defend Islam? How can you defend Muhammad? They tell us that Muhammad was the most perfect male that ever walked the face of the earth. You and I know. And anybody with two brain cells of logic who reads anything in the Quran from chapters 1 to chapter 9 or Sirat Muhammad by Ibn Ishaq will know that Muhammad was the most despicable creature that ever walked the face of the earth.
Which
and
means
that he was not even a prophet. He never prophesied anything. So how is he a prophet? I want to know.
Yeah, so the fact of the matter is that every Sunni Muslim, which means they're committed to following Muhammad's example, is a horrible person. Any Muslim who follows Muhammad's example, any Sunni Muslim representing 80% of Muslims worldwide, is therefore a rapist, a pedophile, a mass-murdering, ruthless, slave-trading, kidnapping terrorist and thief. Because Muhammad was all of those things, and because that's the basis of Sharia law, that's the basis of the Sunni, that is literally the backbone and the foundation of Islam.
Yes, and that's how it's proven every single day. Boko Haram, Hamas,
right.
ISIS, ISIL. Doesn't matter what stupid names they put.
Right.
They are reading exactly the same scripture. Sunnah, Muhammad, Quran.
Right.
End of conversation.
That's right. And all of these things are based upon this repulsive man, and it causes anyone who adheres to his religion to be repulsive.
There is a hate crime.
Yeah, North Carolina is a hate crime. The hate crime is Islam. It's allowed. It's being protected.
Yes.
That's the hate crime.
Yes. It's being protected. By the way, every time I hear that we are insulting, we are slandering Muhammad. You cannot slander Muhammad
because
Muhammad was beneath contempt, and you cannot slander somebody who's beneath contempt. It is impossible.
Correct. Absolutely impossible. That is the reality is that there is nothing you can say bad about Muhammad that isn't true.
Really? No adjective in the English language or any other language in the universe can describe how despicable that person was.
I would say the single most despicable thing you can do in terms of behavior is to be a pedophile. He was a pedophile, and he was a flagrant pedophile. The worst thing you can do to the kinder sex is to be a rapist. He was a repetitive rapist. The worst thing you can do in terms of being in opposition to people's freedom and volition is to be a slave trader and a kidnapper. He was big in both of those things. The worst thing you can do overall, the single worst act that can be committed is murder. He was a mass murderer. And I would say the most deadly crime that could possibly be committed is to lie while pretending to speak for God.
Correct.
He did that too.
Absolutely right.
Yeah. There is nothing that can be said about Muhammad that is vile, negative, perverted, and twisted that isn't true. And that's what needs to be told. Thank you, IQ. I appreciate your comments, and I'm glad that you, too, agree that there is no way to prevail in declaring war against the Islamic State. It's another stupid move by America.